Now shut up and back.
One of the mill morning show with Carmichael Dave.
But I've never played professional sports, so.
You're kidding.
You know what? Funny, I have.
Kenny Christensen.
He needs to shut his mouth.
Agreed. And Nate Goodyear.
I'm not a journalist. I'm a commentator.
Here we go.
I was just entertaining the people on the morning drive.
We on a mission.
Hold on tight. With Dave. With Katie and Nate. Katie and Nate.
I am not driving no minivan.
Good morning.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios.
Broadcasting live.
Why is this difficult?
Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Get ready for the show of a lifetime.
Now. The Drive with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
You want to rock out, Katie?
It's Grumpy Cat. What is that?
I'd say we just listen to the tunes here. So
I know.
It's going to be so loud.
Can you hear us?
Yeah!
So many things going wrong right now. It's 6:02. Carmichael Dave. Grumpy Cat Wednesday.
There it is.
I'm not moving well this morning.
I thought you were moving just fine.
Lied to Katie. I told her I fell asleep last night at 10. Yeah, I had three hours of that. I was watching damn election coverage.
Were you really?
Why? You knew what happened. They told us yesterday morning.
I know. I wanted to see, what was it? Everyone spoke, and then Bernie Sanders went on at like 11:30, I think. So I watched him, and then Daryl Steinberg went on. I mean, again, we're going to get stick to sports guy. No political comments. I'm just stating. I was watching, and then Daryl Steinberg went on. Looks like he's going to be the new mayor of Sacramento. That's all but official. He beat Angie Ashby. I still get not excited about elections, but I feel like it's a history thing, so I kind of have to watch, even if I'm not too motivated by it all. And then the next thing you know, bing bing bing, the alarm went off. And
why don't you just call your friends in the Illuminati and ask them
what's going on?
Jesus.
There's like tiers of Illuminati though, right? Like you're at Sacramento level, but there's
right
upper.
Oh yeah,
okay.
There's the ones
you don't have access to.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I don't have access to the national elections.
the DC.
Yes,
yeah.
just the local elections and all that.
The District of Columbia, which is not in the United States.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Look out, Amibera. We're all coming for you. 6:04, time to get your Monster Aftershock tickets for October 22nd, 23rd at Discovery Park at aftershockconcert.com. Hey now, Tool's going to be there.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Tool's sitting to my right.
Hey now.
Disturbed will be there. There's a lot of
two good bands.
Oh my gosh. Tool and Disturbed.
Yes.
Taken out of context, people could just be talking.
Still talking
They're
about
like, oh,
me.
Oh, you're talking about the show.
Yeah. Yeah, we just need that. Those are our secret names, by the way.
Oh.
Hey, guess what day it is today? It is
Horse Wednesday.
Horse.
Wednesday horse.
Wednesday or Wednesday.
Did you know
horse.
That an adult horse's brain weighs 22 ounces?
Is that big?
So 16 ounces is a
pound.
Dude,
there are some kick-ass bands at Aftershock.
Yeah, there really are. No, Tool, Avenged Sevenfold. I was doing it by memory. I shouldn't have. Korn, Slayer, Primus, Disturbed. Chevelle, Anthrax.
Chevelle did the one song.
Yeah,
oh
The Red.
Which was on the radio the other day, and it still kicks ass.
Yes,
but
it,
I couldn't name anything else they did.
They had another minor hit called Send the Pain Below, but most people don't. And unless you worked in alternative rock radio like I did, you probably don't remember that song. But
Mixer.
Yes, The Red. Which was a great video, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Everyone's sitting in an anger management class, and next thing you know, chairs are flying everywhere. That's fine. So the horse's head weighs over 1 pound.
22 ounces.
Yeah, 16 ounces and a pound.
Do you know how much a human's brain
Oh, that's
brain
from Jerry Maguire.
Right.
The human head weighs 8 pounds or something.
No.
But I don't think.
Three to six.
No.
Damn.
3 to 6. Nate, that would be half of your body weight.
Say 36.
2 pounds?
It's, yeah, it's about 40 ounces. 22 ounces is about half the size of a human.
Yeah, so about almost 3 pounds there. Yeah, because 48 ounces would be 3 pounds.
40, that, right? 40-ish, yeah.
Yeah, 16 ounces in a pound, so it would be 48 ounces a pound.
You guys know what Zach Sabbath is?
It's
Sunday? Is that what it sounds like?
It sounds like Zach Wild and Black Sabbath had a kid. I don't know, but they're there.
Because I don't know. They'd be my headliner.
Today is...
I'm stuck on the concert
thing. I know you are.
It's a good concert. And by the way, we will have... If you want to go, just listen. We will have a ton of tickets to give you to go see this fine, fine program coming up this fall.
And potentially some really good giveaways.
Maybe.
Potentially.
Let's see. Today is National Best Friends Day.
And look at how you come in. National Best Friends Day. Look at how you come in and treat us this morning.
I didn't treat anyone.
Grumpy.
I was just quiet.
Grumpy. There's a difference between being quiet and looking over and seeing steam coming out of your eyeballs.
Steam.
Yeah, because they were rolling so much in your head.
It's about your perception.
Thank you. I don't officially wake up till 5:59 and sometimes 6:04. We'll just explain. This is nothing to do with Katie or Nate. They're fine. We all have our processes, okay? My process is in the morning, I'm very quiet. I'm staring at the computer screen. I'm writing stuff up. You know, I'm not a noisy guy in the morning. It's the only time of the day where I'm quiet. Nate and Katie are the exact opposite. They are awake. They're talking about stuff.
I've literally been here since 4:40 this morning.
I'm on
my fourth cup of coffee. I am a perky, cheery person.
Me and Katie are best friends.
You are, yes. See, and that's the thing. I can't explain it without sounding it's a bad thing for you guys. Yeah. It's not. It's great. It's absolutely fine. You're doing nothing wrong. I'm just, I'm one way. You guys are the other way, mm-hmm. and I'm sitting here, and then it's like Katie's talking about her fence or her brother or somebody in your family weighs something, or I don't know what the hell you were talking about earlier, and then Nate was talking, and they had Traeger cookies, which, by the way, thank you, Nate, for the Traeger cookies. That was fine. And then we have our pre-show meeting, and our pre-show meeting generally consists of, I don't know.
Jay, Nate, and I just chatting.
Just chatting about it. It's like The View, but different.
But like less coherent.
And that's fine. I wish I could be more like you guys in the morning. I really do. But I'm not.
So do we.
But I'm not mad at you. I'm not like, oh, you guys shouldn't talk in the morning. No, I should be more like you. I'm openly admitting that. I can't. So, you know, like when you're the only sober person around a bunch of drunk people in a car?
Yes.
That's, well, okay.
In a car.
Why did you do that?
If you're driving and you're driving around a bunch of people, you're the DD.
And
you got everybody in the car that's hammered and they're having a great time.
You're like, hey, thanks for the free Pepsi, Sleep Train Arena.
Thank you. and you're kind of jealous. You're annoyed and jealous at the same time. You're annoyed because, hey, everyone's drunk and making no sense at all. You can't understand them.
We got to go to Del Taco.
Exactly. And then on the other hand, you're kind of jealous. You're like, God, man, they're having a really good time. And I've got hands at 10 and 2 and the seatbelt on. That's kind of how it is. I'm like, I'm the sober guy in the morning, way too sober. And everyone's, there's streamers and confetti, and everyone's having a great time. That's all.
All of our keys are in a bowl.
That keg is almost tapped.
Today is, in addition to being Best Friends Day, Katie, we'll celebrate that later when we're not fighting. Today is Betty Picnic Day.
Huh? What the heck does that mean?
I'm glad you asked because I had the same question. What is Betty Picnic Day, right? Sounds like that could be a porn. It's not. Here's the deal. Legend has it that Betty Wilder and Betty Patterson founded the Betty Club in 1987 after wondering just how many Bettys were in their neck of the woods. They posted flyers around town asking area Bettys to stop by the first Betty Picnic.
Then suddenly like make Betty sound like a slang.
A little bit. Yes, it does. And there is a popular term coined with Bettys, but it's early.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. I figured that's where you're going. So
if a Betty's the opposite of a John.
Yes. Well, yes.
That's not where you were going. Yes. That's the slang that I've now created.
Yeah.
They posted flyers
all
around
the Betty's
town.
In town.
Hey, Betty's, stop by the first Betty Picnic. Sure enough, Betty's from near and far showed up, But unlike many get-togethers, guess what? No need for name tags at this event.
Hey-o.
Oh, good Lord.
The picnic was such a hit, it became an annual event. There is also a Betty Bingo and Betty Christmas Party, too. Did you know at 6-11, Betty was a very popular name in the U.S. back in the day. In fact, top five most popular girls' names from 1923 through 1940, according to the Social Security Administration.
My favorite Betty of all time?
Yes, I was going to ask you next. I would like from each of you famous Bettys. Ready, go.
Betty White.
Betty White.
Betty Draper.
Betty Draper. Well done.
Betty Rubble.
Betty Rubble from the Flintstones, number two on the list.
Bette Midler.
Betty Boop.
Betty Boop is the number one.
There you go.
The number one Betty on the list. Though I disagree. Betty Boop, they say, is number one. I disagree. I think there is a far more popular Betty. You said Betty White, correct? Did you already say Betty White, though, or no? Yeah, Betty White.
Apple Brown Betty.
Betty Ford?
Betty Ford. For Gerald Ford's wife, former first lady, top five all-time Betty.
Yeah, Betty Ford. That's where my uncle went to play golf when I was in high school.
for 6 weeks, every day. Huh?
Yeah. I think I got it. Betty Crocker?
Betty Crocker is absolutely correct.
Dude, when you first brought up this story, I was like, this has got to be a Betty Crocker
thing. Betty Crocker.
Betty Picnic. Nope.
Nurse MJ. Betty, Ugly Betty, Betty Ford, you said, Betty Davis, as if she's got Betty Davis eyes,
yeah.
Betty Grable, Betty Hutton, I don't know who that is,
heck?
Yeah, Betty Crocker, and Betty Lou.
Betty Hutton was born 76 years old.
On Sesame Street. You know, it's interesting, though, the way names work. Like,
Betty short for Elizabeth?
No, really. Yeah. I thought Liz or Lizzie. Betty was short for Beth, isn't short for Elizabeth?
Can be.
It can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, Dave, Betty and Beth are not the same thing.
No. Beth, Liz, Lizzie, or generally Elizabeth, short for Elizabeth.
So
I hadn't heard Betty. You could be right.
Yours.
For what?
David, Dave.
Yeah, there you go. Davey. That's about it.
Oh, is Dick
it.
Not David, one of them? Like Dave. Richard?
That's
like,
Richard, it... Rick, Ricky, Dick.
Oh, but
Dickie,
I think that applies Ditchard. To you as well.
Wow.
Wow. Happy National Best Friends Day.
Jeez.
I've got like four responses and I can't say any of them.
Yeah, save it. Save it for
I'll
off
save it for
air.
Right.
Because her
so
name
I literally can't. Yeah.
With the most comical sound.
Can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to. Mm-hmm. I'll just reel off all five during the break and take your texts as well.
She just is a major country music loving lady.
She absolutely is. Name your poison day today. Name your poison. That's just, you're supposed to make a decision and stick with it. Name your poison. That's today's Name Your Poison Day. I'm just reading off the
okay.
list. It's also Upsy Daisy Day.
Scotch and water.
Upsy Daisy, meaning pull yourself up from the ground. Get up. Have a great day.
Bootstraps, baby.
It is, I'm not joking here, World Brain Tumor Day.
What
and
the...
that's for awareness.
Grim.
Okay.
And World Oceans Day.
Oh, well, that should have happened on Marine Monday.
Yeah.
Don't they know about that?
Also, Jelly-Filled Donut Day. Jelly-Filled Donut Day. That was supposed to be a horse. We got a lot to get to today.
Gelatin-filled donut?
We have game three in Cleveland. We've got the Warriors versus the Showtime Lakers. Apparently, that's a thing now. Everyone's weighing in, and hot takes flying everywhere. The NBA world.
Magic Johnson actually tweeted something that was relevant at the time of it being tweeted.
Had somebody
got that
there.
For you later.
Yeah, had somebody that Okay, we'll get into that. We'll absolutely get into the Showtime Lakers versus the Cavs itself. Copa de America Centenario.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's clamoring for that.
Well, and it's the only thing on.
I actually watched both of those. And again, the NBA lost a member of its family. We'll talk about that, too, as well. A lot of stuff to get to. It is The Drive. It's Sports 1140 KHDK.
I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. Tell me I'm
6:20. It's Monster Aftershock tickets. October 22nd, 23rd, Discovery Park at aftershockconcert.com. So there you go. All right, so that's going on. A lot of stuff to
Dude's
get to.
Not at Aftershock, by the way.
What, this guy?
This guy's not.
No, but
that'd be great.
Well played by you, Jay,
who is
with
this?
The Wake Me Up. line?
It's Avicii, is it not? With us,
it is.
With special guest somebody.
You know he played this for you.
Oh, I do. No, I'm too asleep to figure that out yet.
I figured, so I needed to point it out to you.
We've got some debates going on today in the world of the sports. Hey, also, didn't mention this earlier, Scott Robb, the an author and a writer for Esquire magazine, wrote a book on LeBron James called The Whore of Akron. he's going to come on and join us at 8
o'clock. Spell that for me.
Whore or Akron? A-K-R-O-N.
Thank you.
So he's going to come on around 8 o'clock, and we'll talk to him about what the hell is going on in the world of LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, who tonight will try to make something out of this Warriors-Cavaliers series. If you're a Warriors fan, here's my question. You won a title last year, and by you, I mean, yes, you, Warrior fan.
You did it.
You have a ring and all that. So the initial, we haven't won a title in 700 years, that's gone. Now you've won a title. Is there any part of you that is rooting for the Cavaliers to lose tonight so your team can clinch in Oakland?
I kind of feel like you, I mean, because that's the thing. Is that
I can't remember if they clinched at home or on the road last year.
They were on the road.
They were on the road.
They were on the road. Yeah, they were on the road. And
wait, you said hoping that the Warriors lose?
Yes.
Lose one of these two.
Well, you said hoping that the Cavaliers lose.
Oh, I thought it said Cavs win.
I didn't catch that. We're fine. Sorry.
All right, so are you hoping the Cavs win tonight, the Warriors lose?
Or win one of these.
Sure, so that the Warriors can come back and clinch at home.
I think everybody, yeah.
You think so?
I really do.
Because I wonder if they're tempting, or if they're like, nope, I'm not tempting fate, just win the title. Yes, I want them to win it at home, but not enough to wish losing on them.
If the Warriors return to Golden State and they're 3-1, how scared are they after what happened and how they took the Western Conference Finals?
How scared are the Warriors?
Yeah, how are the Warriors?
I mean, they've
fans,
proven to them. Yeah, they've proven themselves that they could do it. I mean, that they could come back from 3-1.
But you want to win a title at home. You really do. And Dave, your prediction before this all started was that the Warriors win in 5.
Sure. Yeah.
And Nate and I are the idiots that said 7.
Yeah.
Because apparently we expected more from LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love.
You mean more than but? Because that's pretty much what they've been. They've been but. That's the Cavaliers right now. You don't actively root for a loss.
Saying in the back of your head.
But yeah, absolutely.
Is it a thought?
Absolutely it is. I'm fine with it. I'm sitting here thinking, you know what? Do it in front of the home crowd. I want to see it. When was the last time a Bay Area team won at home?
And if I'm correct, yeah, I don't think any of the three Giants World Series clinchers have come at home either, right? They've all come on the road.
Let's see.
I know the first two did, and then I remember
Detroit was in Detroit.
Yes, and then whatchamacallit, the Rangers.
Rangers
was in Texas.
And then
opening night 2 years ago. I remember this opening night of the Kings at home. And we were all watching in the media room.
In Kansas City.
In Kansas City, Madison Bumgarner. So when that almost turned around. So that ninth inning. So, yeah, I don't think.
So it'd be 89?
89? You mean the A's?
Well, I mean, I don't even know if they clinched at home. They were just in the Bay Area.
I don't remember
if they clinched at home or not. Yeah.
I honestly, and I wonder about that. Like, if they're thinking, if they're starting to get, because that's being a little greedy. And I'm not saying that's bad, but that's being a little greedy. If you're like, okay, well, I kind of want them to lose tonight. So they can clinch at home.
I would want, I mean, because you could also look at it the other way. They won it last year. If you're also a Giants fan, you've seen titles there. So it's just, yeah.
There was an Usher.
Give me one at home. Can I have one at home, please? I'll take an L in Cleveland.
I was watching the news the other night after game 2. Mm-hmm. And there was a reporter that was reporting from Oracle. And she was talking about a conversation she had with one of the ushers that has been an usher there for like 30 years or something like that. And he specifically was talking about that. He's like, I hope that they have the ability to win it at home because we haven't gotten to see it. It's great that they won last year and all this stuff, but I would like to witness it. I've been sitting, you know, here working these games for 30 years, and a lot of it has been losing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I just want to see him win it at home.
Let me put this to you like in like kid terms, okay? If you were like in charge of the NBA Finals video game right now, and you're controlling the Warriors, and you're up 2-0 headed to Cleveland, and you think, you know what? Let's say you go up 3-0. Let's say they get a win tonight.
Sure.
Right? you kind of simulate through that next one and take a loss just because you know you can win at home and you want to do it?
Well, I know when I get home.
Like if you take it out and you're like doing it in video game terms, like you're going to win at home,
I just know if I'm up 3-1 and I go back home, even if I lose at home, I can hit reset with 5 seconds left and play the whole thing over again. Now, would this be – where would this rank on the list of all-time sports troll moves? Warriors go out, they win game 3. Game 4, curse it to start the whole game.
I was thinking about that like 30 seconds ago. Like, do you sit your starters?
No, but what if you did?
That'd be so good.
You know, would that not be knee hurts?
Be one of the greatest things ever. Would be the-
can you imagine the opinions that would come from that?
Oh.
I mean,
that would give us something to talk about.
Well, of course, the time in between those games, holy cow.
Yeah.
They'd get crucified.
Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that because seriously, I don't care. There has been nothing to talk about this series. And it's a shame. This is the NBA Finals. You're looking at LeBron James, who we all talk about as, the best player in the world. But guess what? This has been the most yawn-inducing finals that I've seen in a long time.
Other than the Western Conference Finals, the playoffs have just sucked in general.
Yes.
I'll say what I said. I know it's a repetitive, goofy-ass mantra, but I said it. I kept telling myself that during the Toronto Cavs series. Just home team hasn't lost a game yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's still just 2-0 Warriors. Tonight, Cavs come out and win tonight. Cavs win again, and next thing you know,
we're in the playoffs. The home team.
Saying in this finals.
Oh, okay.
In this finals, the home team has not lost a game yet. All the Warriors have done is
what they're supposed to.
They've held serve. That's it. Now, granted, they've held serve and held the Cavs serve, and then they kicked them in the ass, and then they gave them a swirly and all that. But it's still
snapped them with the wet towel.
It's 2 wins. Mm-hmm. You know, if Kerr did sit his starters for Game 5. I think Stephen A. Smith's head would fly off like a balloon.
I kind of hope that he does.
You
just
let the air out of. Yeah. When we get back, a hot take from Stephen A. involving Jerry West and the NBA logo. So, stay tuned for that because it's always fun. It's a drive. It's Sports 1140 KHDK.
First things first. Rest in peace, Sucker Phil.
From the text line at 44-1140, we're asking, is it in the back of your head if you're a Warriors fan? You got a title last year. You got that out of the way. It's in the back of your head that you want the Warriors to lose one of the next two so you can clinch at home. From the 510, which is Bay Area, I say as a Warrior fan, do not mess around. Just win it. Why are you trying to wake up a sleeping giant in the LeBron? Bonus points for the LeBron.
The LeBron.
From the 916, boo-hoo. We didn't win the championship at home. Just be happy and greet him at the airport. I understand that. Here's one. If you're not one of the people with tickets to a game, does it really matter where the series closes out? Well, I'd say this. If you ask me point blank, hey, would you rather the Kings win a title at home or on the road? If I wasn't going to go to either, even on TV, I think it'd be cool to watch your team win it at home and the confetti and streamers and the crowd and all that. I'd prefer that.
Yeah, I don't even think it's about, I would say objectively, if I don't even have a dog in the race,
sure,
I'd rather watch a team win at home. It makes for better television.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Cavaliers are 5-4 on the road in the postseason. The Cavs are 7-0 at home. They are -1.9 in points per game on the road, +20.9 at home. Kyrie Irving shooting 43% on the road, 50% at home. So there's a little difference there. I'm trying to pump people up for tonight's game. Like it's going to be a thing.
Did you mention that? I'm sorry, I might have missed this stat. Did you mention the fact that the Cavs are almost a +21 at home?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Yes, 20.9 as a matter of fact. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot more than they do on the road. So it's a different Cavs team at home than the road.
My problem is that you're pointing to Kyrie Irving. Any sort of statistic on him as an indicator, and Kyrie Irving is kind of low key garbage.
I had this conversation off air the other day about what is it with him in the playoffs, and I mentioned Kyle Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you can be an all-star, you can be a great player in this league, but what matters is the playoffs, correct?
Yeah.
I don't care about your regular season right. and what you do and if you make an all-star team, but if you lay a freaking egg in the playoffs, what does that make you?
Right. All the hot handles in the yeah. world can't make up for the fact that the dude doesn't play a lick of defense. Even when he does, you can't get a second or third effort out of him. Mm-hmm. He can't play off the ball. I mean, it just he's an individually talented player, but it's tough to see where he really peaks is anything more. I mean, I think this is the best for him, is maybe being the second or third option on a team with a guy like LeBron.
Sure.
Otherwise, this dude, to me, profiles as the best player on a 40-win team.
From the 916, why are you laughing about the Kings winning a title? Did you forget about the Summer League Championship? Victory in Vegas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but that happened in Vegas. So.
Yeah, it did.
It's true.
I got a little distracted because I'm watching the TV, and they're live at the Louisville, the Kentucky
the
Center
what?
For the Arts. Louisville.
Louisville.
And the Ali Memorial being held, and they were interviewing the man who got the first ticket to the memorial, which is, okay, fine. Why would I notice that? Well, his name was Jay Johnson. I say, hey.
There you go, Jay.
That's our producer, but not. It's just his name.
We are going to actually be, we should probably... let people know about this. It should be a good one tomorrow. Nancy Lieberman is going to join us
yes.
at 8:10 tomorrow. She met Ollie in, I think it was 1979.
Told him she was the greatest.
Yes, absolutely.
She's
and
out there.
She's going to go to the funeral on Friday, and so she's going to join us and give some good fun memories and stories about her friendship with Muhammad Ali. So it should be interesting.
That'll be fantastic. That's tomorrow at 8:05, Nancy Lieberman.
Katie, you're around the team a lot, like you see him warming up and all that. Something I never saw, and I'm hoping does Nancy ever shoot a jump shot when she's out there? Like ever? I mean, I know she's just kind of out there as a coach, and I'm watching her drop dimes to these guys as they're doing drills. Yeah. It's like just one time, I just wanted to see her shoot a jump shot. I never did.
I think.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. I think. Gosh, you know what?
Ask her
I'm working.
That.
Okay.
Ask
I'm working.
Her.
I mean,
I'm just
really
because I'm watching her like and again
I've
stationary drills, but like she's just making perfect passes.
Sure.
Like she's obviously
she
a Hall of Famer and has done it millions and billions of times. It's really just kind of neat to watch her just easily do this. But I'm sitting up there going, "How's your jumper, Nance?
You know,
come on."
It's so funny because I don't know that I've seen her do it at the arena. I've seen her do it in practice, like when they're doing drills and shooting after practice. But at like Kings events, she's gone to like community events, and I've seen her behind
Didn't she
the back,
drill a half court shot first behind
her. I bet she doesn't mess around.
Yeah, no.
From the 916, I wouldn't
she's
care.
Nancy Lieberman.
I wouldn't care if the Kings won a title here out of state or out of country or on Mars. Just would be ecstatic if they won. And I get
what
that.
What if they did it in Seattle?
So, but if the Kings had won a title and you've got one under your belt,
yes,
then you don't care where it happens. But do you kind of want to celebrate at home?
Yes.
Because think about the night. When the final game at Sleep Train Arena, the year that we did not know if the
Which
Kings
time,
were
yeah.
going to be
Both
back.
Times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about the last time,
sure.
especially. And then the fans literally stayed in the building for what was it? Like over an hour.
Yeah.
Like no one left. And I was watching, game two of the finals in, Golden State. And it was a blowout, but I was a little perturbed at Warriors fans. You're paying thousands of dollars for these tickets down
look.
By the court, and they left
at the start of the fourth.
They left, and I'm like, why would you do that?
And traffic's why, a pain
yeah,
in the
like
ass.
Oh yeah, traffic's a pain in the
horrible.
Ass. But guess what? You just paid $2,000 to sit in that seat,
right?
Maybe more,
right?
Like stay and enjoy the fact that your team, regardless of if it's a blowout or not, is absolutely owning the finals right now.
Because you could
be that fan.
You could talk to those fans as they were exiting Oracle and say, hey, go back to your seats, do it for Sleepy Floyd, and they'd think that was like a pain medication.
Oh,
salty.
You're so
that's the problem. Do it
salty.
Do it for Nate Thurman, who? What?
Oh, God.
With their crisp snapback, brand new, still smells like it's out of the box Warriors hat.
Count the rings, chump.
There's certainly many, 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 many diehard Warrior fans, don't get me wrong. if you're leaving at the start of the fourth quarter in game two, in which, by the way, your team may not be, this may be the last time you see your team all year long, you're not, you're a bad fan.
Did that occur to them at all?
Huh?
Did that even occur to them at all?
Come on, they stopped serving beer after the third quarter. You got to go find a place for a cocktail. The game's pretty much over. They probably didn't leave the building. I'll bet they're upstairs in the Warriors equivalent to the Skyline Lounge, even though there's nothing that will ever be equal to the Skyline.
No, there isn't.
Except for in the new building, I'm sure there's like 12 of them.
They think Don Nelson's a wrestling move. When we get back, let's pay off Stephen A. Smith. He's fun and exciting. We'll talk to him, or no, we'll hear from him next. It's a drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.
I see this life like a swinging vine. Swing my heart.
All right, it's a drive. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Stephen A. Smith's comments on Jerry West. We're going to get to that in 2 seconds. I just want to clear something up because people are... And then people are actually they're getting into it, and I just want to put the Heisman hand up for a second. From the 530, thanks, guys. Great Warrior playoff fan take. I hate that the true longtime great Golden State fans are now priced out. I do believe you can see a huge difference. I'm not a Warriors fan, but as a Kings fan, I feel for those true fans who can no longer afford the ridiculous prices after all those years. And he or she gets it. It wasn't to say that there are not some phenomenally great, and I think the vast majority of Warrior fans are phenomenal and went through a lot of years of losing. And, you know, I mean, I'm happy and not happy for him kind of thing as a rivalry, but I respect that. That's not to say that here's a truth. And, Nate, I guarantee you and I are on the same page here. I'm sure Katie, too. If you substituted the Kings for the Warriors and the success that they had, as diehardy and Kingsy as we all are, there would be some horrific, quote, air quote, Kings fans, bandwagon shows up. And we'd be doing the same thing. Who's Mitch Richmond? You ever heard of Lionel Simmons? talk to me about Phil Johnson.
Do you even know Spud Webb?
Exactly.
Do you even know Spud?
It comes with winning. You're going to. You're going. And what I don't know is if San Francisco Airport would be selling Kings gear in the front window, like ours does, with Warriors gear. I don't know if that would happen necessarily. That makes me a little nauseous, but it doesn't matter. If you're a good Giants fans have seen that. There's all kinds of horrific, lame Giants fans.
Here,
that's the price you pay for winning. It happened.
This is the thing, though. I like the fact that people join as fans teams that are winning, because that's how you increase your fan base. Mm-hmm. I can't fault the people that become a fan of a team because they're winning. Now I can fault them if their team starts losing in 5 years and they become a fan of another team.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how you increase your fan base, is you have a good product out there on the floor, the field, the playing surface. I don't care.
Right. Like, there's
become
something...
a fan if you like it. Just don't flip-flop.
Exactly. There's something kind of weird about getting upset. Like, hey, you know what? These people are tuned into high-quality sports right here. Wow. And to, you know, for all of the whining that all fans do when you root for a team that's not the Yankees or the Patriots or whatever it might be, you want more coverage. Why don't you talk about this more?
I want
ESPN, East Coast bias, blah, 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 blah. But the second you put the hat on of the team, then it's like, dude, what the hell? You can't enjoy this.
It's no different.
You can't acknowledge this.
No.
It's no different than when you started to get on the shark train.
Just going to go there with the sharks.
Yeah, and you were, we spent 2 hours one day of the show.
Well, 20 minutes.
2 hours of you, like, going back and forth, talking about the fact that you're becoming a fan and are you allowed and all this stuff. But if someone became a fan of the Kings because they're in the NBA Finals, would you be upset with a fan coming on board?
And that's why I had such a problem with my sharksness. That's why I had such an internal struggle, because here's why.
You want that coverage, you want that love, until that person puts the hat on. Then you're like, you're not one of us.
If the Kings were doing what the Warriors were doing the next couple years, let's say, and all of a sudden all this stuff happened, and you started seeing the new hats, the flags, and everything, I would come on the radio. I think my face and my mouth would say, you're all welcome. Come on board. But I'm not going to lie.
Inside, there you'd be giving them the middle finger, just like the Patriots fan with Roger Goodell.
Not all of me, but there would be the cold, dark, black part of my heart that would say,
you were going to say lungs.
Where's your Kings flag 2 years ago? You know, who are you? Go away. You weren't here for the bad times. Get out, bandwagoner. There would be a part of me that would feel like that.
What would you say to the person, though, that I guess is getting back on now that they were disenfranchised at a time? Like, the Kings went through a really bad stage, man. And I know several people that were huge, huge fans that were turned off by a lot of things, whether it was the, I don't know, perceived bias in the officiating, whether it was, you know, thinking that
you're
the
talking
league
about after like the,
I'm, yes,
yeah,
I'm talking about legitimately thinking issue. The league was fixed,
right?
A combination of that, not liking the Maloofs, not, you know, all of those things. There are a lot of people that were formerly really good Kings fans that have been turned off to the NBA completely. And I could see if they were successful again saying, you know what, you guys got your crap together, I'm happy to come back.
Uh-huh.
They spin the tables because they're the ones that made the choice. I'm tired of you guys. I'm tired of the NBA. This crap is fixed. I've told you this before. After that Western Conference, I spent 3 years not watching the NBA.
A lot of people
not
did.
Not at all. Could not, because what's the point? That's as good as that team's going to get. If they're not going to do it that year, if the league's not going to let them do it, there's no point in watching this.
Some
that was 3 years
though.
For me. Yes, yeah. There are people that still cling to that.
Yeah.
Well, I have a really good friend, honestly, that only got turned on to the NBA again last year because of the Warriors.
Really?
I know that that's screwed, but it's just they couldn't deal with the NBA, and it's like, you know what? Actually, these guys are kind of fun. You know yeah. what? I've been missing the NBA for about 12 years.
We got a break when we get back. I feel like I just had an epiphany as to why I have that issue, and it's not right. But I think I just finally figured out a way to explain it, especially to myself. How would you feel if the bandwagon started growing again from a Kings point of view, as Warriors fans, I'm sure do feel that way as well. I have an answer for you, Nate, as to how I'd feel. We'll do that when we get back. We're just getting started. 7 o'clock coming up. It's a drive. It's Sports 1140 KHDK.